Translation purported by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The subject matter of this book is so sublime that it appears that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had personally spoken through the writings of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. Purport. Srila Sanatana Goswami has written in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, Avaishnava mukha girnam putam harikathamritam shavanam naiva kartavyam sarpachitam yathapaya. Transcendental literature that strictly follows the Vedic principles and the conclusion of the Puranas and Pancharatrika Bithi can be written only by a pure devotee. It's not possible for a common man to write books on bhakti, for his writings will not be effective. He may be a very great scholar and expert in presenting literature in flowery language, but this is not at all helpful in understanding transcendental literature. Even if transcendental literature is written in faulty language, it is acceptable if it is written by a devotee, whereas so-called transcendental literature written by a mundane scholar, even if it's a very highly polished literary presentation, cannot be accepted. The secret in a devotee's writing in that when he writes about the pastimes of the Lord helps him, he doesn't write himself. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yanamam Upayanti Te, this is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10. Since a devotee writes in service to the Lord from within gives him so much intelligence that he sits down near the Lord and goes on writing books. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami confirms that what Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote was actually spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he simply repeated it. The same holds true for Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita in his old age, in an invalid condition, but it is such a sublime literature that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj used to say, the time will come when the people of the world will learn Bengali to read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are trying to present Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in English and do not know how successful it will be, but if one reads the original Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali, he will relish increasing ecstasy in devotional service. Hare Krishna. So I'm really glad to be back to Manor and see all the wonderful Vaishnavas here. And I do realize not only lack but absence of my qualification to speak on such an exalted literature as Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the Prayojana Shastra, the literature which helps us to understand what is pure love of God, and especially in the presence of such an august assembly, many exalted Vaishnavas, such as Pankajangri Prabhu and many others. And so I can only say something with your blessings. And in fact, it's very interesting that, you know, sometimes in Krishna consciousness there are so many coincidences that you start wondering if these are coincidences at all. Like today is Apar Ekadashi, and tomorrow we actually have an anniversary of the appearance of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. And because tomorrow is Sunday, the subject matter will be further discussed. And I'm quite sure that whoever will be giving the class will not miss the opportunity to say something about Vrindavan Das Thakur. But in any case, it's worth mentioning him even today. You know, there is no harm of saying something about him 2 days in a row. There is no sin involved in that, glorifying such an exalted Vaishnavas. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami glorifies him so much. Sometimes we may wonder, of course, that those of you who have read other statements by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, they are coming across as rather shocking statements. And, you know, the statement that he says that I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madai, Jagai, Madai, Munise, Papishta, and whoever hears my name will lose all pious credits, and whoever utters my name will become very sinful. This is not even the heaviest statement he made about himself. And sometimes we may wonder, you know, such an exalted personality, you know, personal associate of the Lord, initiated by the original, the Adi Guru, Lord Nityananda himself, empowered and instructed to write on the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by all the Vaishnavas. And he speaks about himself in such a derogatory way, right? Anyone ever wondered that how this phenomena ever comes about, that such an exalted personalities are speaking about themselves in such a way that even us, who are not that exalted, even us, we do not necessarily speak in such a way. Anyone wondered about that? Why is that? Yeah, in fact, here there is a little lead in this description here. Why do they speak like that? Because of what's going on in their consciousness, what's going on in their minds. And for example, yeah, this is the feature of an exalted Vaishnava such as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He compares himself with the most exalted Vaishnavas. They think about the most exalted Vaishnavas all the time, such as Vrindavan Das Thakur. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, will say a few words, is such an exalted Vaishnava that even Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, despite of all his amazing advantages and qualifications, even he feels himself very low. So this is, you know, everything in life can be understood by comparison. And so exalted Vaishnavas are exalted because they all always think about the most exalted Vaishnavas, and they compare their position with their with the position of those Vaishnavas. And in comparison, they feel themselves very low and fallen. But the unfortunate thing is that, you know, they think about these exalted Vaishnavas, they speak about these exalted Vaishnavas, and they serve these exalted Vaishnavas. So that is the feature of an advanced devotee, right? Thinking, speaking, and serving the most exalted Vaishnavas. Now, those who are not advanced, they think about those who are, whether actually or in imaginary sense, less advanced than them. They speak about those people who are, you know, whether it is true or not, less advanced than them means they criticize, and they, you know, as a result, they become completely useless in rendering devotional service because they only think about, you know, faults and problems, and so they become faulty and problematic themselves. Because whoever you think about, this is what you become. That's the principle. Whatever our consciousness is focused on, this is what comes in our experience, in our life. So this is very important for us, I think. This is a very important point. One reason why criticism or blasphemy of Vaishnavas doesn't even matter if it is real, you know, if these are faults are real or not, has to be avoided as a plague, right? Because as a result, we will destroy our own devotional scriptura, as Chaitanya Charitamrita says. So, but this is an amazing example of one who actually thinks himself completely unqualified by comparing himself to Vrindavan Das Thakur. And just very few words about Vrindavan Das Thakur. He was the son of Narayani Devi, who was a direct niece of Shivas Thakur. Moreover, Narayani, in her childhood, she was given so much attention and mercy by Lord Chaitanya. He sat her on his own lap and he fed her with his own Mahaprasad. He would give Narayani the whole plate of his Maha. Can you imagine? And she would actually take it all to herself, finish it up. Because I'm traveling sometimes with my Guru Maharaj. Sometimes he does that to kids. He would give kids some Mahaprasad. And you know, kids are always very hungry because they're growing, they require energy. And so he tells the kid, you know, you don't have to share with anyone. Finish it all yourself. And kid becomes very happy to follow such an instruction. And so apparently this kind of mercy Narayani received from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So she would, you know, have plenty, not just little piece of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direct Mahaprasadam, but the whole plate. And so she got so much mercy. And moreover, she had an unfortunate incident in her life when her husband died very early and she became a widow. And so then Vasudev Datta, I'm sure all of you know the exalted position of Vasudev Datta, whom Srila Prabhupada glorifies as someone who excelled in his compassion, Lord Jesus Christ. Because Lord Jesus Christ, he was taking the sins of only his followers, the maximum human beings, but Vasudev Datta, and only on the earth, right? But Vasudev Datta wanted to take on all the sins of all living entities in the whole universe on himself, right? So this was a kind of compassion of Vasudev Datta. So it's hard to imagine a devotee who is more compassionate than Vasudev Datta. And so Narayani was serving Vasudev Datta in his house. And this was how Vrindavan Das Thakur grew. This was his mother. This was his background, was his lineage. This was his association. So we can imagine what kind of personality he was. And so for these and many other reasons, which I'm sure some devotee will speak about tomorrow, glorify him more, he's defined as Srila Vyasadeva of Chaitanya Lila, And so, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami glorifies him, and he speaks about himself in a very low terms, because he actually feels that way in comparison. And but one thing, we can understand that, but Srila Prabhupada was very specific about warning us not to imitate great personalities. And so sometimes, you know, devotees, they may have this tendency, because our acharyas, they spoke about themselves in a very critical way. So, you know, because I am kind of meant to be next acharya in the line, maybe I should also start practicing that, speak about myself in such a way. I mean, if it comes naturally, if we actually compare ourselves and the consciousness with someone very exalted and feel low in that comparison, that's okay. But imitation will not serve any good purposes, because, you know, if it is done artificially, then it will be either motivated by the mode of passion, you know, that devotee will, you may sometimes hear some devotee speak about himself in a very, you know, low terms. I'm this, I'm that, I'm very fallen, la 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 la, you know. And but the motivation behind is actually, you know, I'm speaking like great devotee is supposed to speak, so everyone should understand my position. But then if someone will dare to say, oh, you're actually realizing how many problems we have, let me tell you about some of your problems, then sometimes there is an explosion. Who are you to tell me, do you know how long I'm practicing Krishna consciousness? And, you know, how dare you are to, you know, tell me what's wrong with me? So, you know, because it's motivated by the mode of passion, it's not very, you know, how to say, yeah, it's not real. It's easy to expose this kind of pretentious humility. Or sometimes it can be motivated by the mode of ignorance, which is which can manifest in kind of depressed state. And sometimes you can see, and actually quite sometimes you can see devotees looking very depressed, or because they feel very depressed. Srila Prabhupada was very specific about it. He said, devotee is very happy, because Krishna is very happy, so devotee is connected to Krishna, he is also very happy. And so if devotee is morose, that means he is in Maya. Very simple. Being morose means I am in Maya. But sometimes it is like that. Devotee may think about himself, oh, I'm so unqualified, I'm so fallen, I'm so low. And this is actually another trick of Maya, which she often uses on devotees. Maya tells, listen, you're so fallen, you're so low, you're actually not at all qualified to practice Krishna consciousness. So you should not even try. Just leave the devotee association and relax. Be like an ordinary person. Live your life peacefully without straining yourself unnecessarily to follow high standards. So, but this is another trick of Maya. You know, talk myself out of practicing Krishna consciousness by convincing myself how fallen I am. one devotee one time came to his spiritual master and he said, I'm so fallen, I'm so low, I'm so worthless. I don't think that I have any chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. So, and the idea behind was, maybe I better go home, back to mummy, back to my tea or something. And this spiritual master looked at his disciple and he said, so you're trying to convince me that your conditioning is greater than Lord Chaitanya's mercy? And then that devotee thought, okay, maybe I'm a little wrong here. Maybe I miscalculated. Yeah, because we are receiving so much mercy from Lord Chaitanya. And of course, we are fallen and we are low, but how can we be happy by understanding that we are low and fallen? Anyone has any idea? How can we remain happy even though we realize our fallen position? Anyone has any idea? Yes, Prabhu, Govinda Prabhu. He's very happy devotee. He must know the secret. Huh? Okay, hope of getting the mercy. But hope is something for the future. What about now? Yes. Seeing good qualities in others. Okay, but we can be happy for others, but what about ourselves? Okay, joy of getting connection, that's very warm, but still I'm looking for more specific answer. Huh? Okay. Privilege. Okay. Okay. Yes, actually that's very close. The real mentality, and that's very important, because we don't want to become proud by convincing ourselves artificially that we already advanced, which we actually not, but we don't want to be depressed either by, you know, meditating on our fallen position. And so the secret, and this is how the real devotees think, and this is how real devotees, they always remain happy despite of realizing their fallen and low position. Huh? Yes, that, what is that gratitude? That I'm so fallen, I'm so low, it's amazing. How can I be even part of Lord Chaitanya's movement? Right? That's the first part of meditation, but listen to the second part. But Lord Chaitanya or Lord Krishna, there's no difference between the two, is so amazingly skillful expert, that he can use even such a useless personality like myself in his service, and sometimes use that useless person in very amazing ways. So Krishna is so amazing. So that's devotee's meditation. That Krishna is so expert. He can make a good use of even of someone who is very useless. Like Srila Prabhupada was sometimes taking some donations from people and which were apparently completely useless, but then using them in Krishna's service in many amazing ways. So this is devotee's meditation. And so actually, if you listen carefully to this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about doesn't even speak about himself, even though the comparison is so obvious. He speaks about Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and glorifies Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami he glorifies previous acharyas. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita being very old and invalid, and so Srila Prabhupada also spent so much time, and he have done all this work being already past 70 years of age. I remember Bhakti Chura Maharaj made a very wonderful point. He said, we'll never actually be able to understand what Srila Prabhupada did for all of us unless we reach the age of 70. Because then, after we reach the age of 70, we can imagine, okay, can I travel around the world 14 times? Can I, cut my sleep to 2 or maximum 3 hours a day? Can I do other things what Prabhupada did? Some people can't even move. They cannot even leave the threshold of their house at such an age. What to speak of traveling around the world and doing all these amazing things. So, I don't think anyone in here, anyone reached 70? So, none of us actually can. Are you already 70, Prabhu? What's your age now? Exactly 70. Jai, Pankajagri Prabhu ki jai. So Pankajagri Prabhu, by dint of his own experience, can judge, what kind of sacrifice Srila Prabhupada did for all of our sake. But, none of us yet can understand that. We'll have to wait a few more years before we realize. And so, yes, Srila Prabhupada, being in such an old age, he had to undergo so many sacrifices. Actually, one time I met one man. I was distributing books around Covent Garden, and he's from New York, and he's not a devotee. I tried to distribute books to him, and he said, "Oh, I know your main man personally." So, and I was wondering, whom he's talking about. So I asked him, "Whom do you mean?" He said, "That Indian old man. I know him personally, so I don't need, I know all these books and everything." And I was thinking, Indian old man, whom he's talking about? But then it dawned on me, maybe he talks about Srila Prabhupada. So I showed him the picture of Prabhupada. I said, "This is the man?" He said, "Oh yeah, I know him personally. How he's doing?" I said, "Well, he left this world quite a few years back." And he said, "Oh, it's so unfortunate. I knew this man when I lived in New York, in Manhattan, and we were actually kids. And we were, really amazed how he was chanting his little Hare Krishna song in a cold, in the snows of New York, and he was dressed very lightly. And he would, fix some little placard made of piece of paper, thicker paper with written words on it. And he was singing alone. Apparently, these were the times when Srila Prabhupada had no following, but he was still singing out when he was out, and he was doing Harinam by himself. And he said we would come to him, and he would always be so nice to us, and we would be amazed, elderly, such an old Indian gentleman, and obviously, used to warmer climate. And he's supposed to be miserable, but he was so blissful when he was singing Hare Krishna. And he was so, nice to us. When people perform austerities and, they tend to be very kind of rough with other people. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopalananda, Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman, Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. But this was not at all the case with Srila Prabhupada. He was always very kind and very welcoming to everyone, and always doing something for others, was always in service attitude. And he said, this was the best man I ever met throughout my entire life. You know, not a devotee. That's his judgment. And he said, I know you are Hare Krishna, so famous now, you're all over the world, but you should thank that old man because he did so much for you. And you're just enjoying what, you know, he did. And if anyone ever will tell you anything bad about this man, don't believe that, because I knew this man personally very well, and he was an amazing personality. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And it's really nice to hear such an account from outsider, basically speaking. And so, yeah, it's true that probably most of us, we don't actually realize both greatness of Srila Prabhupada and the extent of the mercy we've got from Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, because he sacrificed his life. Actually, before he left this world, and one very close disciple of him was traveling with him around that time, Abhiram Brahma, and he shared one piece of personal, you know, revelation. Srila Prabhupada told him that I actually cut down my life at least by 10 years because of, you know, all the hardships I performed, you know, all the, you know, lack of sleep and excess travels and all the headaches he had to take because of the management of the movement, which was very, very immature at the time. So this is what he said. I cut down my life at least by 10 years. I could live much longer. So this is, you know, we can see very simple example how a guru takes disciples' karma on his head and, yeah, suffers because of that. And so, yes, basically Srila Prabhupada killed himself with so much austerities he had to perform to help the movement grow, you know, for the pleasure of his spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya and Krishna, and for our sake. And so probably when we fully realize what we have got from Srila Prabhupada, how much sacrifice he underwent just to give us an opportunity to become Krishna conscious, we'll probably shift the gear, as it says, and actually do something to, you know, express our gratitude and do something to make Srila Prabhupada happy. And yeah, Srila Prabhupada, that this particular purport speaks about the power of transcendental literature, such as Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is one reason why Srila Prabhupada's books are so amazing. As he was mentioning, there were so many, for example, Bhagavad Gitas already before he came. But when he presented Bhagavad Gita as it is, this book actually created miracles, right, in people's lives. So many miracles, like Srila Prabhupada was once asked, you know, you are an accomplished bhakti yogi, you are a bhakti yogi master. So can you do something miraculous? Can you show us some miracle? You know, yogis normally perform some miracles. And Prabhupada said, okay, I'll show you the miracle. And then he pointed at his disciples. He said, this is my miracle. These boys and girls they were, you know, living very sinful lifestyle, and now, you know, they were basically very sinful. Now they became saints. So this is the miracle. I took the sinners and I made them into saints. So this is the power of pure presentation, pure Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada very humbly states that in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita that I can take no credits. The only, if I am to take any credit, the only one is that I haven't changed anything. I just presented message as it is, pure product. And so this is the power of pure Krishna consciousness, transforming people's lives. And so we have Vishwambar Prabhu here with us. Maybe we should say something to glorify Prabhupada's books and book distribution as well. You know, there are so many amazing instances how Srila Prabhupada's books transforming people's lives. One story I heard from the devotee himself. He's from Russia and he's a very wonderful preacher and leader, one of the leaders in Russian community, which, as you all know, grows leaps and bounds. And so he said, he told the story how he came to Krishna consciousness, and some of these stories are mind-blowing. And so he was passing by somewhere and he came across a book distributor, and he really liked reading books. And so the devotee said, oh, this is very, you know, ancient book on Indian philosophy, Bhagavad Gita, read by many great personalities. So he bought the Bhagavad Gita and he came back home, he started studying it. But the problem was that he was a convinced meat eater. You know, some people out there are so convinced about meat eating that they want to have meat for their breakfast, lunch and dinner, right? Every day. They're really religious about their meat eating. And so he was like that. And then he came across, you know, very soon he came across the passage in Bhagavad Gita where Srila Prabhupada condemned meat eating in a very, you know, rigid way. And that devotee, well, that he was not a devotee then, that man became so annoyed and actually angry with that criticism of meat eating that he said, I'll never read this book. These people, they're trying to brainwash me. They're trying to stop me from eating meat. That will never happen. Never say never, right? And so he put the book away and he went to the kitchen to cook meat. And so he made some meat preparation and he ate it, and something happened to him. He felt so sick, he had to vomit everything. He thought, oh, maybe that meat was, you know, bad meat or something, you know, expired or something. So he went to the shop. He bought a fresh piece of meat. He came back home, cooked it again. Same thing happened again. He felt so sick, he had to vomit everything. And so this kept happening to him again and again and again until he realized, I cannot eat meat anymore. I don't know why. What happened to me? No chance. So I guess now I'm forced to become vegetarian. But he was a kind of person, you know, some people, they have this idea, vegetarian lifestyle means taking, for example, only salad till the rest of your life, nothing else, right? Or lettuce, maybe, till the rest of your life. So he was this kind of man. You know, he had these extreme ideas. He had no idea what vegetarian lifestyle is. So he went to the market and he purchased cucumbers, you know, a few pounds of cucumbers. So he came back, washed these cucumbers, cut them, and with tears on his eyes, he started, you know, chewing his cucumbers. And so one day, second day, third day have passed, and he realized, you know, he cannot live like that. And he was thinking, you know, how can I survive being vegetarian now? And then he thought, okay, these people, whoever they are, you know, they spoiled my life. Now I have to go and find them and, you know, inquire, how do I survive now? Okay, how do I survive being a vegetarian? So he went to the temple, and luckily it was a Sunday. And there was a Sunday feast, of course. And then he came across one devotee, you know, with round, smiling face. And he said, you know, I'm trying to become vegetarian, but how do you survive? You know, it's so hard. And devotee said, oh, it's not hard at all. Let me take you to the feast. So he got a full plate of prasadam. He said, wow, I can easily be vegetarian like that. But then he realized he has to learn how to cook. Then he went to the cooking course. And of course, he learned how to offer his food and how to chant Hare Krishna. And so, to cut the long story short, in a very short time, he became a full-time devotee. So, this is just one instance what Prabhupada books do to people. And they become, you know, so quickly purified. And of course, if you ask any devotee who had any experience with book distribution, they can tell you so many stories, so many instances, how amazing Prabhupada's books are, what they do to people. And actually, why Srila Prabhupada's books are so powerful? The reason is very simple, that Krishna is behind. Krishna is behind because these books are presenting Krishna as he is. And so Krishna, in the heart, as Paramatma, is making all the arrangements so that people would actually become Krishna conscious and become interested in his message. And, one time I was distributing books also in Russia. And it was full-on winter. Probably it was below 30 degrees centigrade outside, snowing and everything. And I was distributing books next to a big mall in a car park. And so some drivers were waiting in the cars for their family members to come back with shopping, you know, because it's really dangerous to switch off the engine in such a cold. It's pretty hard to start it again, so they were, you know, keeping the engine on and waiting for their family members. And so I would distribute books to those drivers. And so it was going on quite well. And then I came across one car, which, you know, was not on. And the top of the, how you call it, this cap above the engine was open. Yeah, and the driver was trying to fix something in there, something broke. And, you know, his whole family was standing around him, impatiently waiting when he finishes, because it was really cold. And the car was cold and outside was cold, so they were in very desperate condition. And of course, when people are in such desperate condition, you don't bother them. But somehow, you know, I decided, you know, let me distribute books to them. And so I approached this man who was trying to fix his engine in such a cold. And he said, would you like books? And he turned to me, being very annoyed. He said, what books? Don't you see what I'm doing? What are these books anyway? And I said, well, these books are about God. He said, God, God. If God would help me here to fix my engine, I would think about it, but not now, just, you know. And, you know, I just happened to say that, well, God can do anything. And then he looked at me, being very annoyed, you know, what are you talking about? And without looking at the engine, he poked his screwdriver somewhere, and the engine started. And then he turned around He put the screwdriver and he said, can I see these books now? And he actually bought the whole set. So, you know, and there are so many things like that which actually prove that Krishna really wants people to become Krishna conscious. And what is the best way to become Krishna conscious? By reading, understanding and following Prabhupada's books. Of course, there is one, even couple of very, you know, kind of burning, we can say, issues which are happening at the moment, which, if you allow me, I'll take a minute to address. And one is about so-called changes in Prabhupada's books and so much controversy and criticism and hostility amongst the Vaishnavas on the basis of, you know, why someone changed Prabhupada's original books, this and that. Devotees are ready to kill each other sometimes for this, you know. Like one devotee in Russia, he shared, he said, you know, he's Vanaprastha now, but when he was married, and he comes from kind of, you know, in intelligentsia background, very well educated and all. And when he was, you know, a family man, he would conduct home programs in his house. And sometimes they would discuss things amongst themselves, philosophy, and sometimes discussions would become very heated. And his wife was not so interested in Krishna consciousness per se, but when they would have, you know, heated discussions, she would, you know, peep into the room and listen and see what's happening. And one day when, you know, the devotees left and he was alone, his wife told him, you know, you seem to be really, you know, educated and cultured people, but it's really, you know, like amazing how you are ready to kill each other for the typo in the book. And so, but in fact, one example is that, you know, Prabhupada's first Bhagavad Gita in Russian language was not even translated by a devotee. These were completely mundane people because devotees didn't have anyone who knew English well enough to translate Prabhupada's book, so they had to employ someone who was not even a devotee. So you can imagine, just imagine how many, you know, discrepancies were there in the first Bhagavad Gita. Just to give you one example, I nearly, you know, had a big trouble because of one mistake in the book. Like the Sarvadharman Parichaya verse says, abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me, right? But in that first translation of Russian Bhagavad Gita, it says, abandon other religions and just surrender unto me. Can you understand the difference between all varieties of religion and other religions? So people were actually accusing us in being cultish or sectarian on the basis of, you know, one of the main verses from Bhagavad Gita. So this is one example. So this Bhagavad Gita was so full of mistakes. And yet, this faulty translation of Bhagavad Gita made so many thousands of people into devotees of Krishna. So this is an example that, you know, all these discrepancies, they actually cannot change the power of Prabhupada's books, because the core message, you know, Srila Prabhupada knew exactly what he is doing, and the core message, what he really wanted to convey, is so crystal clear and repeated so many times that there is no chance to miss it. And so, you know, all these discussions, you know, which translations, which, you know, original books, not original books, they actually have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. And there are many points like that. And in fact, yeah, it's very unfortunate because the one of the main instructions of Srila Prabhupada was your love will be shown by how much you will work together, how much you will cooperate in pushing forward this movement. And so all these little things, they really destroy the unity. And sometimes, you know, it's only by, we can understand, it's only by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can still carry on despite of all the hurdles. And sometimes I'm thinking, you know, there is a joke that there are two most important things to understand in life. That one is that there is God, and the other one is that it's not you, right? And it's actually more than a joke if you think about it, right? It's so true. If we just meditate and realize these two points, we'll become perfectly Krishna conscious. And we can help others in that regard also. So, thank you all very much for your kind attention and patience. I don't think we have any more time, so we'll have to finish here, right? Sorry? Oh, really? Wow. Thank you, Shruti Dharma Prabhu. I thought I already went over. Anyone has any comments? Nandan Prabhu, thank you. He was the one who requested me to give a class. So if I said anything right, it was by his mercy. If I said anything wrong, that's because of my conditioning. Yes, Prabhu.